You're listening to the Net Mums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Alison Perry. Coming up on this week's show...
Do you know, a lot of the time, it's as much about what we do with the parents as what we do with the children, because we need to build that relationship and trust. And the more comfortable you feel, naturally, the more comfortable your child will feel as well.
But before all of that...
This episode of the Net Mums podcast is brought to you by Busy Bees Nurseries.
Alison, what are your memories of having little ones in a nursery?
Oh, I've got such fond memories. The staff became like members of the family, and my little ones had just the best time learning new skills and playing.
It's interesting you mention learning, because Busy Bees have launched their new Be Curious curriculum. It's designed to give children a head start in life, setting them up to succeed.
Sounds brilliant, Wendy. Tell me more about it.
Industry experts have carefully crafted this outcome-focused curriculum by bringing together the latest research in child development, 40 years of industry-leading experience, and global best practice from Busy Bees around the world.
I'm guessing that the kids don't just sit in rows learning though, right? I mean, do they make it fun?
Yes. The Busy Bees team have been highly trained beyond available qualifications to deliver Be Curious to the highest standards through playful teaching and playful learning to feed every child's curiosity.
Sounds incredible.
Find out more about Busy Bees Nurseries at busybeeschildcare.co.uk. It seems appropriate today, folks, to talk to you about the overwhelm. Alison, I've got... the collie wobbles. I've got the wobbles about having too much to do. And I saw a post on Instagram. The lovely Unmumsy Mum did a post this week where she talked about self-care and me time and basically just threw it in the air and said, I get it. I know that I should have me time and self-care, but there isn't bloody time. So how do we do this? And I am feeling, I look a bit mad. I feel a bit mad. Tell me I'm not the only one who's going bonkers.
You know what, Wendy? You're really not. You're not. And I do feel like that there is, this has now become a thing where the act of trying to pencil in some self-care becomes stressful in itself. It's like an extra thing to add to our to-do list. And I really beat myself up over the fact that I don't do it enough. In fact, I have on my to-do list, I now, as of this week, have read 15 minutes of your book, which sounds ridiculous, but no. If I don't have it on my to-do list, I don't do it, and I really feel like I do benefit from reading a book. So, yeah, it's not good, is it?
But I think if your child is due to start nursery, you might be feeling even more overwhelmed now. It throws up all of the questions. Regular listeners will know we've got slightly older children now, but oh my God, I can just remember that, going back to that. Have I picked the right kind of childcare? What can I do to get them ready for starting? What will they be doing when they're not with me? What if they cry?
And they will cry. You know, that's inevitable, isn't it? Like especially the first day, the first few weeks. And it makes you feel so guilty, doesn't it?
So, tell us, who are we delighted to be joined by today?
Well, I'm thrilled that we have an expert guest today. We are joined by early years expert Jenny Shaw from Busy Bees, who has got all of the answers to any of the issues that you might be having, any of the questions going around in your head if you are currently trying to decide on childcare or you're preparing to settle your little one into nursery. Jenny, a warm welcome to the Net Mums podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me. It's very exciting to be here.
Thank you for joining us. I'm loving that you have a very on-brand bee in the background of your video.
That and is you're buzz. Wearing yellow.
And you're wearing, you're matching your bee. I like this.
I'd like to say that was planned, but, you know, it's just happened.
So let's kick off. Tell me a little bit more about you and how long you've worked in early years and what you love about it.
So without giving my age away too much, it's been my whole career. So I'm going to say over 25 years I've worked in early years in various kind of different roles. And I mean, it's the best job in the world, basically. That's why I love it. There's so many things that I love about working in early years. But to try and be succinct with it, you know, we are really privileged to be trusted by parents. You know, it's the most precious thing you have in the world. And to know that a parent trusts you to look after and educate their child in those really fundamental early years is just, yeah, it's an amazing feeling. And, you know, it really is for us as much about the education as the care. And watching a child do something that you've taught them just every time just blows your mind.
It's so interesting hearing you talking about, you know, parents trusting you. And I really, like, as you said that, I just felt that in my bones because, so my eldest is now 14, but mm-hmm. I still remember that, you know, having her as a 6 month, 9 month old baby and knowing that at some point soon I'd be going back to work and handing her over to a nursery and feeling like, I'm not sure I'm okay with this. You know, it can feel so overwhelming just to pick childcare and know what is the right option. As we said at the start, there are so many options and everyone you ask has a different opinion.
Of course they do.
How do you suggest that someone makes that decision?
I do think it's a really personal choice. And as you say, there are lots of options out there. So it really is kind of about, you know, doing your research and kind of really thinking, you know, what's really important to us as a family, and kind of going out there and looking and thinking what, you know, what's going to be really important for us. I think, you know, nurseries are fantastic. I think there's a lot of benefits of going to nurseries that, you know, parents might not think about. You know, it's all of the social skills that, you know, children get from engaging with lots of other people that you might not get kind of in another provision. So I think that's really important. You know, also our educators at Busy Bees, you know, they're trained in supporting children's development. As I said already, it's not, you know, the care is huge and really, really important, but it is about that education as well. So they're really trained in supporting children's early development through play. So it's all about that kind of playful teaching that leads to playful learning. So, you know, there's a huge impact on children's development as a result of going to nursery. And a lot of that is around communication as well, just because the interaction they're going to be having, you know, with their key person, who's that person who, you know, is really assigned to meet all of their individual care and education needs, but also with their peers as well. They're going to be meeting lots of other children and kind of just having the best time as well.
So my eldest went to nursery and my two youngest twins, we actually couldn't afford the local nursery, so we sent them to preschool. The difference that I noticed, so before my eldest went to school, she could write her name, she could count to 100. I mean, I'm probably exaggerating, but I felt like, wow. But, you know, my two little ones, really, there was a massive difference. What would you say the benefits are between, say, nursery and something like preschool?
I think it's, again, you know, it's an individual choice, but I think it's, you know, it's really about, you know, thinking, you know, the communication. I always come back to communication and language underpins all other areas of learning and development. And in nursery, we sing all day. We read stories all day. And those are two things that are, just have a huge impact on children's communication and language. And that really sets them up in all other areas of learning and development. And, you know, it's just the, you know, how that key person plans for them. So they really think about that child as an individual and, you know, looks at the things that they're interested in, the kind of stuff you've been doing at home as well, and then plans around that, knowing, right, well, this is what they love, this is what they've already done at home, and this is what they need to work on in their learning and development, and kind of, you know, puts those two things together, so to really help them, you know, in terms of their learning and development. And you're absolutely right, I was very similar when my son was little. He initially went to a childminder just because there wasn't a nursery near me, and then when he joined into the nursery that I was at, the difference in his development, he was a real social butterfly, and being around, you know, that wider, you know, group of children from all different backgrounds, just, yeah, was ideal for him.
You must get asked all the time questions by parents, you know, when they're trying to choose a nursery. Can you pinpoint one that you get asked the most when parents are trying to make that choice?
As you say, it's a lot. I think often it's about food. Food's often really important to families because, you know, children are fussy eaters, or, you know, we get a lot of children with allergies and dietary requirements. And you know, people want to know, what are they going to be eating and are they going to eat? And we're really lucky at Busy Bees. We've got our menus are accredited by the NHS. So, you know, it's really great for us to be able to say to our families, you know, these, what they're going to be getting is, you know, definitely, you know, nutritious and delicious, and they're going to have, you know, have a really good time eating. But also, you know, we talk a lot to parents about the importance of actually learning at mealtimes as well, which is another thing going back to what we were talking about earlier about the benefits of nursery. The amount of times parents turn up at, you know, at lunchtime or tea time to pick up, and they cannot believe the skills of their children pouring their own drinks. They're like, well, they have a, you know, a sippy cup at home. Why are they, you know, how are they drinking out of this cup? How are they managing their cutlery?
It's funny listening to you say this. I remember now, I'm kind of going back 12 years and thinking, I remember how really worried I was. I had a fussy eater and thinking, she's just not going to eat anything. And she was only kind of 15 months or so when she started at nursery. And I remember thinking, well, she won't take a bottle from anyone there. Yeah. And she won't do this, and she definitely won't eat that. And she did it all.
She did.
And she still didn't do it at home, but she definitely did.
There's something around like that kind of, you know, peers, seeing peers eating things or doing things. I was the same, that my eldest, she was so fussy at home, but she ate everything at nursery.
Absolutely. And it's another thing, it's that the idea about that care and education piece, because, you know, obviously, you know, when we're eating, yes, you know, we're it's a refueling exercise, but it is so much more than that at nursery, because we are really thinking about how we're supporting children's independence, how are we supporting their social skills. So, you know, as much as, you know, we're setting up the most amazing, you know, a tough tray with all these dinosaurs in that is really exciting, there is as much learning going on at that dinner table as there is during that dinosaur activity. I think it's the purposefulness of our educators knowing, actually, this child's ready to move on to actually have a knife now. This child is ready to start being able to pour their own drinks. And, you know, when we do it, we have like the most tiny amount in the jug, because if we gave them a huge jug, they're going to get it all over the table. But if, you know, when the first time they pour it, they will get it all over the table, but they can wipe that bit up themselves, and that's absolutely fine. And then we practice as well. So if we've got a group of children that are learning to pour with jugs, then we will put jugs in the water tray as well, because then that's the opportunity for them to practice those skills in an environment where, you know, they can just have a go, and, you know, it really doesn't matter. So even though, you know, your meal times you might not think of as that great learning opportunity, it absolutely is for us. So yeah, you know, parents are often absolutely fascinated when we start talking about meal times. You know, they want to know just about the food, but that's like a tiny bit of it, and there's so much more to it.
That's so interesting. So it's normal to like look around a few nurseries usually before choosing one. What would you say, you know, if I'm looking around a nursery, what should I be looking out for when I'm choosing one?
It's not a decision you can make at your laptop. You know, looking at people's websites, looking at people's Ofsted reports, absolutely make your shortlist from that. But you've got to walk through that door, and you've got to feel it. And I would always encourage parents to take their children with them as well, even if they're really little. If they're obviously a little bit older, you'll kind of see their reaction to you know, what they're seeing around them. But even if they're tiny wee, you'll see how the people who are there are responding to the children as well. And I think, you know, again, it goes back to that values of making a list of what's really, really important to you as a family. So, you know, depending on what your outside space is, you know, you might be blessed with a great big garden or live around the corner from a park, or you might not. So actually having a great big garden where your child is going to be exploring, that might be really important to you. But you've also got to ask the question then, well, how often do they go outside? Because they might have a great big garden, but they might have, you know, set times they go outside. Do you think actually my child does better when they're outside? So, you know, how much of that is an option for you? And, you know, things like, you know, if you're the type of parent who really wants to get involved in your children's learning, you know, what opportunities are there for that? So, you know, do they have things like a lending library so you can borrow books and that sort of thing? I think that's really important. As I say, you know, you'll have your own list of things that are really, really important to you. But one thing I would absolutely say to look at is to ask when you go around about what the qualifications are of the staff, but also what continuous professional development do they do on top of that? You know, at Busy Bees, we're really fortunate that we go kind of beyond the available qualifications. There's a list of statutory requirements that every early years provision will have to do. So you have to have so many people with this qualification, etc., and you have to meet the ratio requirements. But, you know, what do they do to continually upskill their educators to make sure they're really kind of at the forefront of the latest thinking in early years education? So, yeah, as I say, you know, in Busy Bees, that's something we really invest in with our staff, because we want them to be the best that they can be to support the children to be the best that they can be as well.
A lot of parents find settling their little one into nursery hard. /traumatic. I still remember the tears, like my tears and my little one's tears. It was all of us crying.
That's most people.
Yeah. How can parents prepare their little ones and themselves for starting nursery?
So I think it's really important to have left them before. So if you have not got kind of, you know, blessed with having family around you, making sure, you know, have you got a friend that you could leave them with for an hour or so, just so they get used to the idea of you going and then you come back again. So I wouldn't say the first time you ever leave them, you leave them at nursery, because you will naturally have your own anxieties about leaving them at nurseries. You know, you've already talked about it is a really big deal, and you will build up trust in those educators. You know, you've both spoken about, you know, you've had children at nursery, and once you get into it, you're like, they're my new best friend, that person who's looking after your child. But obviously at the start, you don't know them.
But so they're often your child's new best friend as well.
Oh, 100%.
I remember thinking that they loved whichever carer it was much more than me at the end of the day.
Because, you know, the person at nursery hasn't got to also do the washing and the washing up and then try and fit in work and all of those things. So of course they are.
Well, it's when they stop running to you at the end of the day, when you turn up and they're in the sandpit and they're like, hi, and then they carry on.
I'll see you later. I'm a bit busy right now. Yeah. But yeah, in that beginning bit, if you can drop them with your literal best friend for an hour, who you trust implicitly and you know they're going to be fine for an hour, they will know, oh, look, okay, so they're comfortable to leave me, and then they come back. I get it. This is a good thing. And then, yeah, you kind of, when they then start at nursery, at what we do at Busy Bees is these settling in sessions. So you can have as many of those as you like, and you don't get charged for them. And so to start with, you would stay with your child, and you're in the corner doing the really boring paperwork, and they're like, start off clung to your leg, perhaps, and then they'll see this lovely, you know, new best friend person that's like, hey, I've got some sand over here, or dinosaurs, or whatever it is, and they're like, well, this is really boring, so I'm going to go and play. And they start to feel comfortable because you're clearly comfortable because you're sat there, you know, doing your thing. And then after a little while, the next time you would leave them for a short amount of time, so again they get the message that when you go, when they're left here, they come, you come back again. And I think one of the really important things that parents often struggle with is to say goodbye. The temptation when they are at that, you know, the sand tray, and they're engrossed and they haven't looked around for you for a minute or two, just to sneak out of the door really quietly. But then 30 seconds later, when you've gone, they will go, okay, where's she? And that's, you know, that can be really intimidating for a child, a bit overwhelming. So even if you know, and it sounds awful, you know they're going to cry when you say goodbye, it's so important to do that, because then they know that when you leave and you say goodbye, you come back again. And we just suggest you kind of extend that period of time. And every child's an individual. And some children, they will take, you know, one or two of those sessions and then they're like, see you later, I'm good here. And some children will take a lot longer. You know, it's one of those, whatever you need, we'll do it. If you want to go and sit outside and peep through the door, that's absolutely fine. If you want to go to Tesco's and get the shop done, that's fine too.
This is just a reminder that this episode is brought to you by Busy Bees Nurseries.
Their Be Curious curriculum has been expertly developed to give children a head start in life.
Using the latest behavioural science and focusing on subjects directly linked to better outcomes in life, children are playfully taught using their progression model to develop a strong foundation of knowledge.
Find out more about Busy Bees Nurseries at busybeeschildcare.co.uk.
We always get told as parents, they stop as soon as you leave.
Yep.
Do they? Do they actually? Or is that just go to Tesco and chill? It's fine. But do they actually stop? That's the question.
They do. They absolutely do.
She
I would say
that, though,
I would say 99.9% of the time. No. Do you know what? When I was in nursery, I used to have this little boy who just put on the most. He will be an actor now. I don't know what he's doing all these years later down the line. But and he put on this great big show. And then he used to, and the door would close, and he'd look at me and laugh like that. It was awful.
No.
Most children won't do that. But 90% of children would say, you know, yes, they absolutely do. Because, you know, their key person will know that actually this is their favourite storybook. So, yes, they've gone, but we're going to read The Bear Hunt together. And that's really exciting. Or, you know, they know that they absolutely love being outside. It's just rained. Let's put our welly boots on and go and splash in the puddles together. Or whatever it is that your child loves to do. Whatever they need, that key person will be like, right, this is what they need from me right now to settle and to calm. And for that very small percentage that don't, we're going to ring you. We're not going to leave your child being really upset, because that's not in anybody's interests. So, you know, if it's a child that really we think, do you know what, this isn't working today for whatever reason, and it might be actually they didn't sleep brilliantly last night, or, you know, they might be going down with something or whatever it is, we're not going to, you know, drag that out for them. We're going to give you a call and say, do you know what, should we have a little bit of a rethink today? So if you haven't got that phone call, but also it's absolutely fine for parents too, really. You know, we always say, you know, if you need to ring us every 20 minutes for the first week, that's okay.
I've just remembered our nursery had a camera and you could go in on the webcam and look. And I thought when she started, I'd spend hours on this webcam. And very quickly, I was like, yeah, she's fine.
She's fine.
But you think at the beginning, don't you, it's going to be so hard. And actually, everybody usually adapts quite fast, I think.
Yeah, they do. As I say, because it's all, you know, what we do in our curriculum is we tailor everything around that unique child. So it's getting to know them and you and what's important to you. And that's, you know, absolute gold dust to us, because we will use all of that information to help your child settle. We want them to feel safe and comfortable as soon as possible. And, you know, a lot of the time, it's as much about what we do with the parents as what we do with the children, because we need to build that relationship and trust. And the more comfortable you feel, naturally the more comfortable your child will feel as well.
Now the rooms at my daughter's nursery were jam-packed with fun, engaging corners and all sorts of cool things that they could do. What are the things that little ones can do all day at a Busy Bees nursery? Because often you drop them off and you're a bit like, not really sure what they're doing all day.
Yeah, so I've already mentioned about the kind of the singing and storytelling. And I mean, we literally sing constantly. We sing about, yay, let's go and wash our hands. We sing about lining up to go outside. And we sing, you know, Wheels on the Bus and all of that kind of stuff as well. Because we know the impact that singing has on children's learning and development. And the same with stories, you know, we will be sharing stories throughout the day. Those are two absolute cornerstones. And then there's, you know, all of the activities are really tailored towards their learning and development. So we've got opportunities for, you know, those creative things that you might not want to do at home. So, you know, the, you know, really messy painting kind of stuff that you think, you know, I've just got new carpets, that's not going to work for us. They're going to be doing all of those wonderful things at nursery, so you haven't got to worry about it. But again, it's that, you know, really thinking about, we're looking at, you know, what are the learning benefits out of these activities and how can we support their learning and development. Meal times we've obviously already talked about, but we'll also have those quieter rest times as well. So if your child still needs to sleep, then that's fine. But also we have those kind of more chilled out times of the day, because it can be a pretty full-on day at nursery. You know, we are having fun a lot of the time, so we do have those kind of quieter times where they can just kind of, you know, have a bit of, you know, rest and headspace. And you know, even if they're not sleeping, again, it's those snuggly story times that are really important.
I remember thinking she wouldn't sleep, now you say that as well, because nap times were this, I think it's your, I'm kind of having a bit of PTSD here. I'm going back to all of these things. I remember thinking, she'll never sleep in a room with eight cots in it. It's never going to happen. And she, sometimes they'd be like, oh yeah, she had a 3-hour nap today, because they're so exhausted from all the fun in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
My daughter's nursery had this thing where the key workers, they all like laid on the floor on like mats, and the key workers rubbed their backs, and it was like some sort of witchcraft thing where they would just like rub their backs a few times and they would all go to sleep. But it was like, what is this?
It's the magic touch. We've just, you know, what can I say? But we also, you know, if you're thinking kind of, you know, what is my child doing all day? Again, at Busy Bees, we have these kind of online learning journals. So we'll send you photos of what your child's been doing during the day with kind of what they're learning as well, but also, you know, just get these great little, you know, insight into their day.
So what are they learning? Tell us a bit about the curriculum and actually what you're teaching them on a day-to-day basis.
So I think, obviously, you mentioned the word curriculum there, and I think for a lot of parents they're like, sorry, what are they at school? Like, it feels like a big word for what we do in early years, but you know, early years is the foundation of everything that comes after it. So we have a really clear focus on three particular areas of learning to start with. So communication, language, obviously I've already really talked about, and that underpins absolutely everything. And then we really focus on children's physical development and their personal, social and emotional development as well. So that's our kind of foundation of the things that we focus on with the children. And again, it's that idea of playful teaching that leads to playful learning. So we will be doing just lots of activities. I say, you know, going back to dinosaurs, lots of children love dinosaurs, so I always use that as an example. So we might have a great dinosaur activity out with the children, but we might be utilising that to teach them fine motor skills, or we might be utilising that to teach them vocabulary or engaging with their peers and that kind of social interaction. And as children kind of get a little bit older, we then start to think about some other areas of learning and development as well. So we're building the early foundations for mathematical development, for knowledge and understanding of the world. Literacy is really, really important to us as well. And that kind of the creativity, the expressive arts and design. So all of these areas of learning are kind of encompassed in what children do, but it's all done through that play, and it will look different for different children because they're interested in different things. And some children like learning outside, some children like learning inside. So it really is unique to them.
Now, my kids just love running around outdoors, especially when they were this little. Come rain or shine, they were out there. What are the benefits of outdoor play, whatever the weather?
So, again, you know, outdoor play is a really significant feature of what we do at Busy Bees. And a lot of children we find kind of learn better outside. And there's a bit of research I read recently, which was fascinating, that children ask more questions outside. And that's because the outside world is constantly changing. You know, every time you go out there, it'll be slightly different because the weather's slightly different. And, you know, what's happening to the trees is different depending on the time of the year. So there's so many more opportunities for that communication and language outside than in a static indoor environment. We know that when children are mobile, they should be having 3 hours of rigorous physical activity every day. And, you know, that sounds like a lot, but actually, if you cast your mind back, if you've got a 14-year-old, it'll be a bit different.
But they don't stop when they're little, do they? They are just, everything's rigorous But
constantly.
Going to the toilet is rigorous. Everything is like done at full pelt.
Absolutely. And it's
if you've got one like that, sorry to interrupt,
go for it.
You're at full pelt because you're chasing them the whole time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's those real big body movements that we do with children that are really important. And again, it's something that you wouldn't necessarily think of, but we always say you've got to do it big before you can do it small. So when we're talking about making great big movements like this, or, you know, like this, that actually helps pencil grip later on, which, you know, kind of makes sense when you think about it. But, you know, if you see children, you know, rolling around the garden, you're not naturally this will later support their early handwriting, but it absolutely does, because those big body movements have got to be kind of embedded for them to then develop those fine motor skills that really help later on. And just things like, it helps their respiratory system, so there's higher levels of oxygen outside, so oxygen content outside is 20%, whereas inside it's 11%. So, you know, it actually, you know, a lot of parents get worried about them going outside when it's cold. We always say there's no such thing as bad weather, it's bad clothing. You want your welly boots, you want your decent coat.
And those puddle suit things where they're basically just a giant plastic bag.
They're the best.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I miss those in kind of like mid-childhood when...
Also, we should have adult versions of those,
absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. So we can just take our kids out on a muddy walk.
Yeah.
Actually, I could do one for the dog, now you mention it.
Oh, that would be amazing.
So I hasten not to use the word homework here, mm-hmm. but how can parents support what you're doing at nursery at home? Is it important that we're recreating what you're doing at nursery to kind of mirror what's going on?
No is the short answer. And I know on the podcast you guys talk a lot about kind of that mum guilt, that parent guilt, that overwhelm. And we absolutely don't want to just add another thing to your list that, you know, as I'm talking, you think, right, well, I must get some dinosaurs and I must do some sand and I must do this. And it, you know, that's one of the reasons you send them to nursery. You absolutely don't need to replicate that. But what the key things that we're focusing on is, you know, thinking about what does that child need in terms of their learning and development. So what I would suggest is that you find out from your child's key person, what is it they're focusing on at the moment? And say at Busy Bees, you know, because we've got these online learning journal platforms, you will see that. And then you can just think about how you can really simply do some of those things at home. So like we were saying earlier with the, you know, pouring drinks, add a jug to bath time. Like, you've got to do bath time anyway, so why not add a jug? And that will help your child's pouring skills. You know, you're thinking about those kind of big body movements. You know, next time you go to the park, you know, get involved, you know, make those big movements together. Stories and singing, again, really important. Find out what books your child loves at nursery. Go to the library. I'm a massive fan of libraries. And again, a lot of parents don't know their children can have a library card from the time they are born. Go to the library, order those books in. There's lots of research that shows children learn words, you know, really well during reading stories. It's a great way to teach children new vocabulary. And if you're reading the same story over and over again, that helps them learn words more quickly. So if you know that their favourite book is The Bear Hunt and they've been loving that at nursery, borrow a copy from the library for a couple of weeks, and that is going to help their learning and development. So it's thinking about what can you do that just fits into your routine, that just enhances that a little bit more.
I don't know about you, Alison, but I can still recite, we're going on a bear hunt, we're going to catch a big one, what a beautiful day, we're not scared, because we read it so many times.
Wendy, I'm still reading it. Having 5-year-olds, we still do the bear hunt. We do all of those classic books, you know, the Jolly Coachman.
I had a little weep at the weekend because we had to make the decision to put some of the picture books either in the loft or in the charity pile, because we're on chapter books now, and there's not enough room in the house for 100 picture books and 100 chapter books. And I'm there going through, you know, Julia Donaldson's, all of the Ladybird ones, like, oh, we can't get rid of this one, because they're such a big part of that early parenting.
I think it's good to keep a few, like, absolutely. I mean, you know, some of the classics, like the Gruffalo, or, you know, those sort of books. I think hang on to them. And
oh, we've kept a lot, more than my husband was happy to keep, put it that way.
But I think, you know, often as, because my son was exactly the same. It was the same one. And it was bear hunt for a very, very long time. When he went to nursery, if you sat still for longer than about 3 seconds, he was on your lap with the bear hunt. And I think, you know, sometimes as a parent, it can be a little bit, you know, that's why you want the really good books. Because if you're doing it over and over again, you know, it does become a bit repetitive. But next time, just think to yourself, I'm helping them learn words much quicker because I'm reading the same thing over and over again. So you are doing the right things, because, you know, a lot of what we do in Busy Bees is really think about how we can extend children's vocabulary, because again, research tells us the number of words a child has heard and speak by the age of 3 is a predictor of later language development. So that's why we have this significant focus on, you know, how can we support children learning new words. So again, at home, you know, next time you are, you know, your child's doing some role play cooking, for example, you could talk, you know, introduce words there. So rather than saying, oh, you know, you're cooking, you know, you're sauteing, you're stir frying, you're baking, just those words used in context will just expand your child's vocabulary.
That's so interesting, because I find myself, I'd fallen into a bit of a bad habit when I was reading to my little ones. I used to, and I've stopped myself doing this, but I used to change complicated word. I used to simplify them as I was reading the book. So, you know, sometimes like a kid's book could say, he exclaimed instead of he said. I would change it to he said. And I recently stopped myself doing it because I realised that I was almost depriving them of hearing these new words, and I wasn't actually helping them.
And this is why storytelling is so important for vocabulary learning, because authors choose their words really carefully. And there's a lot of words that are in books that you would not come across in day-to-day conversation, but they do exist in books. So, and we always say, like, if you're using a word in a book, think about how to say it so it helps the child's understanding of what that word means. So you would say exclaimed, because that, you know, helps you understand, you know, what that word means. So it's just, again, you know, when you're thinking about doing things at home, it's what can you fit into your day-to-day routine you're doing anyway, but just do slightly differently. So, you know, if you say, you know, then a story, it's got the word shrieked, you wouldn't say shrieked, you say shrieked, you know, because you're emphasizing what that word means.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for joining us today. I think that your words will have reassured and helped so many parents listening. So it's been, yeah, brilliant to chat to you.
I hope so. Thanks for having me. It's been really lovely to chat to you both.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on all social channels, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Just type in NetMums and you'll find us. And if you liked what you've heard today, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating, press the follow button, and share the podcast on all your socials.